Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back as our guest Secretary of State Nellie Gorbea. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, and good morning.
The State Board of Elections will open only 144 of 419 polling places for Rhode Island's presidential primary next Tuesday. This kind of reduction is typical for a primary vote, but some observers are still concerned. Madam Secretary of State, is opening just one in three polling places a recipe for trouble?
Well, no, not necessarily. All polling locations, let me start by saying, are determined by the local municipalities and the State Board of Elections, and they're done so by accessibility, function, and centralized location. They also look at voter turnout over previous elections. And so you'll find that the number of polling places that are open for the presidential primary is not that different than what it was in 2008. It was a little bit higher in 2008, but we had a higher number of other polling places overall. So,
Maureen, any concerns here on the fewer number of polling places?
My slight concern is in the sense that it's about turnout. In other words, I think the 2008 election, I think it was about 32 or 33%. I expect it's going to go much higher because this is one of the few races that, looking back over the history, where you have contests in both primaries. And so I really think there's going to be a big turnout. So that may impact the lines and it may impact accessibility. I hope it doesn't impact the number of ballots. I hope you printed a lot of ballots. But the point is that I think that's the cause of concern. This is a very untypical election because of the fact that the kind of interest that we've had, I don't think we've had since I've been in Rhode Island. And so we'll have to see how it plays out.
Scott, like Maureen said, turnout is expected to be really big on Tuesday. Do you think there will be problems?
No, I don't. In 2008, we had a record turnout of 200,000 just on the Democratic side. And I think everything went pretty smoothly. And I don't see coming in that there's going to be a problem. I don't see any real objective reason for it.
All right, well, let's shift gears and talk about legislative grants. Critics like former gubernatorial candidate Ken Block say the process in which grants are picked by legislative leaders is overly politicized. House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello says this is just sour grapes from a losing candidate and that the grants are picked with Republican input and that they help nonprofit groups throughout the state. What's your take, Scott?
You know, I'm really concerned about one thing on Mr. Block's take here. How come if you're a congressman or a congresswoman, you are lionized when you bring home a federal grant to Rhode Island? This is like press release city, photo ops. There's Senator Reid, White House. How many of these we've covered over the years, Ian? If we had a dime for each one, we'd be rich. Now, somebody who gets $5,000 for the local Meals on Wheels in North Kingstown or South Kingstown or South Providence, somehow that person's a bad person?
Yeah, I think you've got a good point there, Scott. But Secretary of State Nellie Gorbea, what about the criticism that lawmakers have to curry favor with legislative leaders to win grants for their own district?
Yeah, I want to pick up on what Scott just said. I mean, no doubt that these monies are going to some great causes, some great organizations. That being said, anytime you have public dollars being dispersed, you know, you should welcome review and discussion about the use of those monies.
Maureen, isn't this a top-down process that just reflects the power of the House Speaker and the Senate President?
Yes, it is. I mean, and that's the way it's intended to be. These are incentives. I have to say that, first of all, Mr. Block, talking about the fact that it's a separation of powers issues is completely silly. That's in the budget. The fact is most state legislators have these kinds of budgets, and they're the purview of legislative leaders. That's how you get people to go along. The process is much more open, much more transparent. It used to be the case in old days that these kinds of things were really patronage gifts. Now, Republicans do get them, and they have the kind of scrutiny that they haven't had before.
Well, don't forget, bad things do sometimes happen. Remember the great Institute of Sports and Society down at the University of Rhode Island, which was a total fiasco, and a lot of that was legislative grant money, some was federal money. So I think the secretary had a good point that what's needed here is more accountability.
Well, I mean, we do have, what I'm arguing is we do have much more transparency now than we did, particularly in that case of you or I.
But you really have to wonder if Governor Raimondo is going to take any aggressive action here. She says she's going to look into the concerns raised by Ken Block, but we can surmise she doesn't want to pick a fight with the legislature, especially with her budget yet to be disposed.
Not over something as minuscule as this.
Exactly.
Let's move on and go back to presidential politics. Hillary Clinton strengthened her hold on the Democratic presidential nomination with a big win in New York's primary earlier this week. But many Democrats still prefer the bolder message of Bernie Sanders. Maureen, how do you see the outlook for Hillary Clinton moving forward? And do you think she'll match up with Donald Trump in November?
I think that I can't speak about the Trump thing. There's going to be a contested convention, I think. But I think Hillary Clinton pretty much has this wrapped up. I think Bernie Sanders has done a wonderful job. I don't expect him to win here in Rhode Island. I think this next set of series of primaries are closed primaries. So I think the real strategy for Bernie is to stay in the game, be gracious, keep the message going, and not do any damage to the Democratic ticket. I think that's what we're going to see.
Nellie Garbea, any concerns from where you sit as a Clinton supporter on whether Bernie Sanders supporters will come back into the fold to support Hillary Clinton?
You know, I don't think so. I think in the end, the Democratic Party will come together very strongly because I think the message here is a strong one, which is one that we are concerned about the well-being of working families. So, but I do want to give a shout out to everybody out there listening that no matter who you're supporting, you absolutely should come out and vote because despite what the media says, despite what your friends and family might say, your vote will really matter.
Scott, what's your view on how Clinton looks moving forward?
Well, I think Bernie Sanders is going to have a tough decision to make Tuesday night. They're going to have to reassess where they are. It's almost getting to the point where he's going to have to win at least three and probably four out of five of these primaries or run the table if he's going to be viable. So I think his campaign is going to have some soul searching to do depending on what happens Tuesday.
Secretary of State, what should voters know ahead when they go to the polls on Tuesday? What information is most important?
So I think the best thing that our listeners can do is to check out their sample ballot. They can do this on the Voter Information Center the Department of State has put up, and that's by going to sos.ri.gov/VIC for Voter Information Center. You can look up your polling place, which may have changed since your last election, and you can look at your ballot. There's a lot of delegate names that you might want to familiarize yourself with. All of that information ahead of time is very useful and makes elections go smoother. I also want to make sure that those of you who are listening that are unaffiliated voters know that on that morning of Election Day, you can absolutely go and vote in either the Democratic or the Republican primary. And you can do so by just, you know, showing up and saying that you would like to vote in that primary. You will become then a member of that party during that voting period and for the next 90 days. And will continue to do so unless you disaffiliate on your way out.
But there are always some people who are late to the party, and if Rhode Islanders have not yet registered to vote, it's too late for this election, correct?
That is correct. You cannot register. You have to have registered to vote 30 days before the election that you're going to vote for.
All right. That's all the time we have. So thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Secretary of State Nellie Garbea.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoyed the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at rapr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.